everyone to the XCast. The truth is in here. The truth is in here. I'm doing that as the doppelganger double for we're covering plus one today. I'm Tony Black, back as your host after Carl Sweeney, bless him, stood in for me when I sounded a lot like Karen Connival last week, as I've just said to my guest, I was very croaky. I'm back to full fighting fitness, hopefully, and I'm joined for this first episode exploring Plus One, the brand new episode of The X-Files this week, by not Andrew Blaker, as originally planned. Our schedules didn't quite align, but I'm delighted to be joined by Paige Schechter. Hi, Paige.
Hi, Tony. How are you?
I'm much better now, and it's great to have you back on the show. You appeared most recently on our last Podwatch after being an avid listener of that, so it's really nice to talk some season 11 with you.
Well, technically, then I did the podcast for the X-Files Expo coming up, so I was actually on after that.
You were. Sorry, I'm forgetting my own podcast and my own episodes. Of course you were, which was a great episode about X-Fest, and hopefully won't be the last we have with those guys. So yeah, Plus One, the latest episode, written by Chris Carter and directed by Kevin Hooks in his first ever episode of The X-Files that Kevin Hooks has directed. And this one obviously features Mulder and Scully on a case, and they're investigating what seems to be deaths by mysterious weird doppelgangers, caused by mysterious weird doppelgangers. Can't even say it. Mysterious weird doppelgangers. try saying that when you're drunk, fast. Yeah, that's a challenge. And in this opening episode of a little bit of coverage, we're going to be talking pretty exclusively about the one and only Mulder and Scully. But firstly, Paige, what did you think of Plus One overall?
Overall, I liked it. I thought it was really nice to get back to kind of a classic X-Files feel and the standard standalone formation and avoiding the breakneck pace of the first two episodes of the season. And it wasn't such an action movie with car chases and Mulder and Scully being more nimble than they ever were during the original run, and not so cluttered as Chucky's house. I thought it was a really nice, well-paced episode.
There was a little bit of the action stylistics at the end, wasn't there, when Mulder fights his id. He bust out the Jason Bourne again a little bit, but it wasn't, yeah, it was much more akin to an old X-File, really, one of the older series episodes.
Well, we're used to having him, you know, fist fight. We're used to that kind of thing. That's classic X-Files.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he was just never very... I always felt like he was never a very good fighter in the original, you know, series.
Unless he was beating on Krycek, because Krycek could never get the upper hand on him.
True. He was the only person he could really beat the crap out of. But yeah, I agree with you on the whole. Yeah, I think I think I enjoyed a lot of the stylistics and the, you know, the conspiracy thriller aspects of this last week. And I thought it was the right context to tell that kind of much more action heavy episode. But this just gave me all the feels from the 90s. You know, this really did, and it just felt so much like the show in so many ways, like the show that we'd grown up watching and we loved that. I think this is probably the strongest episode of the show overall. It's not without its faults, but I think it's probably the strongest episode of the show for a long time, really, as a package, as a full package. Yeah, and I really, really enjoyed it. And you know what I like the most, Paige? I think I love the fact that I really appreciate the Monster of the Week story now. You know, it, after so many years of having no X-Files, and back in the day, it was all about the mythology. You know, I lived for the mythology. I lived for the main story. But now, I've been so looking forward to Plus One, because I knew it was a standalone mythology episode. And in that sense, it just didn't disappoint.
Right, absolutely.
And with Mulder and Scully, I think they... And this is what we're going to talk about. I think they slipped back into the characters even more than we've seen. You know, and that's something I think has been, we've found with season 11 so far. They've David and Gillian have really got back into these characters, and maybe it's also the writing. I don't know, but I don't know about you. I just feel like every episode they seem even more like the Mulder and Scully of old.
I do agree with that. You know, we've talked about, and you've talked about, and everybody has blogged about how the time frame, it was less of a break, so it was easier for them to get back into it. It seems so much more natural. They seem like Mulder and Scully. They're not just, oh, you know, they look pretty familiar. It's Mulder and Scully. This is them. This is who we know them as.
Right, exactly. And I'd like to say, I think a lot of it does come down to the writing. And I think there was a very conscious decision in Plus One to really write Mulder and Scully in a very specific way. Let's get it out of the way. Let's get it out of the way, because this is arguably, you know, my struggle three caused a lot of problem with Chris Carter and his fans, you know, and the fans of the show, as you
what?
Know we've discussed.
Did I didn't hear anything about that.
Yeah, we may have mentioned it, actually. We may have blogged about it. We may have podcasted about it. But if it's almost like I wish I could reach back in time and say, will you please just hang on just 2 weeks, because you're going to love everything he gives you in 2 weeks' time. Because this is such an episode for the shippers, isn't it?
It is. It is. It is not just shipper friendly. It is, you know, it's totally and completely for the shippers, barring one small thing that I'll get to when we get up to that.
This is shipper friendly with benefits.
Yes, shippers with benefits.
Shippers with benefits, without a shadow of a doubt. I mean, where do you? I don't know if we've ever talked about this, but where do you sit on the shipper debate page? Have you historically been one, or were you a different kind of fan?
No, I was not a shipper, but I'm not a no Romo either. Because when you see what they've gone through all these years and continue to go through, they're obviously each other's soulmates. There's not going to be someone who comes in and, you know, it's mentioned in this episode that Scully is concerned about it, you know, implanted by the conversation she had with Judy. She's concerned about it. But there's not going to be anyone who can take Scully's place in Mulder's heart. And so you have to give them that, you know, whether you're a shipper or a no Romo, you know, how do you not see it that way? I'm sure there are people who not see it that way, but that's how I see it. They're soulmates. I don't need the prolonged conversations on the rock. And in this case, we had the bed scene. I don't need it to go on for too long. What I prefer, and the moments that really click with me, is like the end, you know, the last line. It's not out of the realm of extreme possibility. That's what gets my heart beating faster. You know, I don't really need to see them at length being personal.
That final moment where she opens the door and he's standing there. I mean, to me, that was so like classic sort of Hollywood old romance kind of movie style, you know. It just
definitely
there was no, you know. I mean, people have talked about how that when he's giving her a hug, there's a cut, and it clearly looks like they're after having sex, which is fine. You know, the suggestion is they've probably had sex during that,
yes,
in between those conversations. That's fine.
They did have sex. They didn't sex.
I'm being coy. You're right. They did have sex, which is fine. Which is fine because they, you know, they're former lovers. They are, as you say, they're in love with each other. There's no issue with that. But it's the whole thing of the last thing you would ever want to see in a way. Well, certainly I would never want to see, and I think other fans maybe would, is the actual them really getting down to it and having a, you know, protracted sex scene, which other, you know, some TV shows do show, you know, obviously more on cable shows, but they do show that. I just think you don't need that with this. You know enough about them. You've got the suggestion, the overt suggestion that these things are happening. And it's okay, you know, back in the day, back in season 7, and that whole conversation and the hug and everything, it felt so much like Requiem to me. It felt like a replication of that scene, just, you know, 20 years on. And, you know, season 7 obviously had the hints and the suggestions that they were having a sexual relationship or something had happened, you know, things like All Things and whatnot. But this felt like a conversation we've been waiting for 20 years, nearly. And I think, yes, I agree, you don't need long protracted scenes, but I don't know, Paige, I feel like they needed to have this conversation and we needed to hear it.
Okay, I definitely buy that. Do you want to hear something funny about the end of that scene it's on my mind? At the very end, you know, she says it's not out of the realm of extreme possibility. And I have closed captioning on when I'm watching the show. And it said, blade on sheets. And I swear I just broke down laughing. I thought exactly like that. Exactly. I just couldn't stop laughing. I'm like, oh, that's shipper heaven right there. Blade on sheets.
Yeah, that is up there with Dean the lawyer, you know, suggesting to the waitress, "Come and see my swords." You know what I mean? It's that whole. There was a nice undercurrent of that. That's brilliant. That's brilliant. But I think the thing is, I think with that whole scene for me is that what I mean by the fact we had to hear that conversation was, I think what Chris Carter did really well here was, and you said this earlier, he's positioned Mulder and Scully in, I think, the perfect place in that we know that they're going to be sleeping together. That's fine. They are effectively really good friends with benefits now, especially now. But they also love each other, and they also are fully aware that should their careers end, should things change, they're gonna spend their dotage together, you know. And in order that might actually help assuage the pain of lost opportunity between them. And you know, it was a bit heartbreaking when Scully's basically turning around and saying, "I kind of wish we would have had more children," you know, because that's what she
Oh,
says, you know,
yes.
and that they could have when Mulder went on the run from the alien shapeshifters or whatever, the replicants, that, you know, they in what I want to believe, they were sort of toying with that whole idea of having a life, you know, having a living together and things like that. But because of all the stuff going on, because of the uncertainty about whether they were going to be killed, because of the apocalypse looming and everything, it feels like that 10-year span, there's that feeling now that they could have used that time, you know, when they were in their 30s, 40s, you know, they could have used that time to really just think, "Oh, forget all this. Let's just fall in love, have a family." And they never got there. And it's sad. I think it's really sad.
It doesn't really make me sad because they have this thing that all of us sort of dream about, all of us want in our own lives, and they don't have the textbook family, but they are closer than any two human beings can be, as possible as two humans can be close. That's how close they are. So I never really feel bad about it because they have that.
Well, I suppose I say this because, you know, I've gone on record as saying that I don't think the X-Files should end with, like, the end of existence. You know, I don't think that's the ending of the show for me. But at the same time, I love these two people so much that part of me just does, in a way, want them to have, especially after this conversation, part of me just thinks, "Oh, it's such a shame you didn't get to do that." But then at the same time, my conscious storytelling brain then kicks in and thinks, "Well, do you know what? This fits better that they're in this position now where they, like you said, they are so close, they are soulmates, they are just this perfect couple, but they'll never be the 2.4 children." And that's, you know, I think that makes a lot of sense. But I think I'm just a big old soppy romantic at heart, Paige, clearly. I really am, because I was just like, "Oh, you too, you just kill me." But maybe it's because I'm getting married this year, you know, and I'm in
Ah.
that zone. Do you know what I mean? I'm thinking, "Oh, I'm getting married, I'm going to have children hopefully in the next couple of years," and I'm like, "Oh, I just want Mulder and Scully to be happy." You know what I mean?
I do.
I know, but I don't know about you. I just think he wrote them really well in this episode, and they performed really well as well.
Okay, you want to hear the problem I have is some of the Scully reactions, like, does she really want him to take a nap? She good, you're gonna go back to your room? Good? Really?
Do you not think she's sort of? She doesn't really mean it when she's saying, "Yeah, I hope that's what you mean," or "Yes, go back to your room, Mulder." I just got that impression that she's really hoping he's just going to sweep her up and, you know.
Oh, you are a soppy romantic, aren't you?
Really do. I think she's just playing coy there, and I think she just wants him to,
I don't know. They have separate rooms. What do they need separate rooms for? You know, why is it a question? Can I sleep in the bed with you? Have slept in the bed with him.
But is it that whole thing that she that they're in that position? I mean, this could be, I suppose, the counter argument is this is where it's being a bit forced by Carter, and that he's intentionally trying to keep this, you know, platonic dynamic going, even though he knows that that's not the reality of it. So there is that suggestion that, yeah, why aren't they just getting one room? Why is there even a question? You know, does it need to be said? But I don't know. I don't know. It's I think different people will see this one in different ways.
Well, that is always the case with the X-Files. It doesn't matter, you know.
True.
You show somebody something white, and they're like, "Oh, that's plaid."
It's true.
You
Yeah.
know, everybody sees everything differently.
It's very true. It's very true. Although I felt like this, in a way, felt more like a Scully episode than than Mulder. I think, you know, they both had probably roughly equally the amount, same amount to do, but she just felt like it was a bit more her story in that she was worrying about age and, you know, growing older and, like I said, missed opportunities. I don't know if you picked that up, but that's the
I definitely agree with that. But I thought David had this great moment when she was talking about that, and Mulder's look is just like, no way, it's never going to happen. I'm not looking for a 20-year-old to take your place. There's no one who can take your place. And she's not seeing the look because she's looking off in her direction and he's behind her. And I just thought it was an amazing look. You know, without saying a word, we got it. Yeah. We got it.
Definitely. Definitely. I agree with that completely. He really sold that. I was with him. I was like, yes, mate, I agree. Like, she's lovely. Well, you know, good. Good for you. Yeah, but I never doubted that. You know, I never thought, he'd never do that. You know, he's been in love with her since day one, really. I mean, that's the reality. He's, in his own way, straight away, he just felt something for her, you know, and it grew then over the years and it changed and it deepened. But yeah, why would you ever need anybody else? You know, it's like, she's awesome.
Yeah, plus she still got Scoot in her boot.
There was a question, there was an interview with Kevin Hooks. And the question to him were lines like that made up? And he was like, well, sometimes there was a little bit of, you know, improvisation. I put money on that being David. hard cash, definitely. But yeah, don't you think they look really sort of, I mean, is it just me or do they look really like exceptionally good? Like Scully's hair is fantastic. Mulder's just wearing these awesome sunglasses, shades. Like, his coats are amazing. I'm just thinking, you never looked this good back in the day. Mulder was always a bit ramshackle, you know.
Looking sharp, they are.
They look like they've just been outfitted, you know, at like a Beverly Hills fashion boutique. Like, wow, you guys look good. But I thought they were great in this episode. I mean, they're always great, but I think that Chris Carter really got them, and I'm just pleased at how it all rolled out, really.
I always can tell a Chris Carter episode by some clunks. And I thought the conversation about ghosts, really? You're going to act like you've never talked about ghosts before, okay? This is scientific. This is more scientific. Or, you know, you've been together all this time and you've never discussed the concept of the devil.
Mm.
I just went, oh, come on. you know, these people know each other really, really well. They've discussed this before. And on screen in How the Ghost Stole Christmas, in the case of the ghosts, we've heard them discuss ghosts. It's not a surprise.
Yeah. We're gonna put a pin in this discussion, because this is something we'll come back to in one of our upcoming episodes, because it's a good point and it is something that I think people will definitely, and I've read already, some people are having a little bit of an issue with this, and in terms of the believer skeptic thing, which was very clearly defined. So we're going to come back to this page. So don't let me forget this one, okay?
Okay.
Because I am a bit absent-minded, so don't let me forget. But yeah, we're going to come back very soon for more discussion on Plus One, where we're going to be talking about the brilliantly characterised Judy and Chucky, the characters played by Karen Conover. We're going to get a little bit more into that. So we'll be back very soon. So keep staying tuned. Hope you've enjoyed the episode. Remember, as always, trust no one.